jump up, let's get crazy. Jump up, let's get crazy. Welcome to the Supercoach Coach Round 7 podcast. I'm joined again this week by FB Donkey.
G'day everyone. We're up and about on this show, mate, as we improved on the rankings on the weekend.
We certainly did, Mark. I've got big news. Pretty big news, Mark. Top 100! Woo, woo!
In the world.
Yep. Sitting at 90th, Mark. Really pleased well with done, myself. Buddy. Made it through with Gibbs and Heppel sitting on the bench, so extra happy about that. And I think Steve Johnson, bringing him in last week, is turning out to be real ace because he's blitzing it at the moment. And hopefully he does okay against Essendon this week because need him to keep powering on. He's a POD at the moment.
Yeah, I'm thinking either Hocking or Howell it'll go to him, mate, and they will shut him down and hopefully make you cry a little bit.
How'd you go, Mark?
I did okay, mate. Not quite as good as you. I jumped up to 2,482nd, which is a bit of a familiar ranking from the last couple of years, just sitting around that 1 to 3,000 rank. So would like to jump up a little bit further if I could. And survived the backopalypse last week, not too badly. Yeah, looking to maybe bring in one of my favourite players this week. So it should be an exciting week of Supercoach again, and I'm looking for redemption. But we don't get it till Monday. Monday night, we don't find our rankings this week because there is the St Kilda-Carlton game after the weekend.
Yeah. So just before we move on, Mark, what are the trades you actually did on the weekend?
Unfortunately, I had to trade Fife out of my team, which was quite disappointing because he'd been looking pretty good and he is an absolute gun to be cheering for every week. So that was a bit sad, and I traded him for Hartlett, moved Goods into the midfield to hide the donut in there, and I traded Pittard to Vlosten. Now, I was a little bit disappointed to get rid of Pittard because I think he had some more money to make, but was very, very impressed by Vlosten's effort on the weekend. I'm sure that you were watching him fairly closely as well and would have been happy with that.
Told you he looked good from the first game, Mark. He didn't get subbed. He ran out and, yeah, very impressed. Hopefully, he should keep his spot again this week. I think based on that performance, no reason to get dropped. But spots are tight, so hopefully he doesn't get subbed. There's a chance.
Yeah, there is. But I really liked how many centre bounces he was actually in. He was definitely in and around the play a lot. So I think that was a pretty good sign.
And Mark, Hartlett over Shaw. Now, that was interesting for mine.
I already got like a Goddard, Heppel, Gibbs, Luke Brown, thinking of bringing in Laird. I didn't really feel comfortable bringing in that many buy players from round 13. So
that is very odd, Mark, because I was faced with the same situation. And normally you're the one who's saying, Marcus, ignore the buys a little bit.
But that's okay. Why I was surprised that you brought Shaw in.
Yeah. Well, I thought, you know me, Mark, this whole season I've been saying top six backs. And even though people had downgraded Shaw from a top six back, I'm pretty sure he's still going to end up there or find a way to end up there. I think he's only 28 and Collingwood should do well again this year. So picked him up and I'll deal with the buy carnage as it comes, I suppose. So maybe you'll gain that leg up over me a little bit down the track.
Look, the game was very well suited to him on the weekend, mate. St Kilda just kept the ball in Collingwood's back line for most of the night, and Heath Shaw, he had, I think, 18 possessions to half time and was killing it, and then got a bit of an ankle injury and slowed down a lot in the second half, and only had 4 touches to end up on 22. So hopefully he doesn't get away from me too much as well, Marcus.
All right, now to the actual trade-in and trade-out targets this week, Mark. There's actually quite a lot to talk about. We're hitting the exciting time of year. I think the first rookies look about ripe, and I know we started upgrading a bit early, but it looks like they're hitting full maturity now, Mark. I think Wines is probably a big one that people will be looking to move on this week. Is he actually somebody we should be moving on? Because he's averaging, I think, 90, 94, Mark. Is that right? But
Just over 90, mate. And you could definitely see him holding down that M7, M8 spot for a little while. But I think that with their tough draw, he's almost reached his peak, and you've got to find some way of getting to these premium midfielders. So I think Wines is a prime target to be traded out either this week or next week. He could come out and blast a 120 this week, but even if he did, I'd probably still be looking to trade him out because, yeah, we just need to find some money to get up to those premium midfielders.
Now, Jack Grimes got injured, Mark, broken collarbone, yeah. And really unfortunate, not one of those soft tissues that he's well known for. So this one was really genuinely unlucky as an impact injury. he has to be traded out, Mark, and it's real disappointing because we didn't have many round 12 defensive options, and Grimes was actually playing some good midfield time and looked like a decent potential side swap target around the buys. Not so anymore.
Yeah, I have a long-standing bet that Grimes won't play every game in a season, so wasn't shattered from that perspective. But from another perspective, we have to bring up Sportl. Now, somehow I brought Grimes into my team this week to cover the backline carnage. I made Watson captain and went to the GWS game, and Watson hardly got near it. That was frustrating enough. And to see Grimes subbed out for, I think he scored 20 or something, really ruined me, and I've dropped to 13th in that competition. And just to rub it in,
I've been
dominating that competition all year. Just to rub it in, you rose up to fourth.
It's the coming of Marcus, Mark. I'm just taking your spot for you, keeping it warm, sitting up there in fourth. And it's a nice view, Mark. 24.50.
Yeah, I'll be doing Grimes to Stevie Johnson in that comp this week, so with a bit of MPP trading. So, yep, he's got to go, obviously. And it is disappointing that a round 12 back premium is not fit, because we're sort of down to Waters and Hearn, and Waters is injured as well, so the options are quite limited back there. Now, Waters, I think they're talking about him maybe being 2 weeks as well, which if he's one, maybe two from here with a high break even, that would actually be quite a difficult decision for Waters owners, and you'd almost lean towards trading him, but then you sort of get into buy trouble.
I think you have to keep him because of the buys. Like, you'd trade him otherwise, but he's a round 12 buy player. If you already have him in your team, I think just hold, and hopefully he gets back before round 9. They play GWS and maybe he has a big game. Who knows?
Now, I know a lot of people in Dream Team last week did Gibbs to Waters. That would have been pretty frustrating.
Mm, I didn't do that. And I'm up to 102 in Dream Team. Sorry, I just got to get all my brags out.
Lewis Stevenson, I think he had a good game a couple of weeks ago, but had his worst game on the weekend. Scored just 42 points. Is it 272,000? Is it time to be getting rid of him?
Yeah, I think both Stevenson and Heath both look like they can be traded out. I would have guessed about 280K as their matured price if looking at them in the preseason. So, yeah, no issues at trading them out at this price. But I think, you know, you can afford to hold with both of them. They'll still go up in value. I think their break evens like low 30s or low 40s or something like that. And I think they're both going to keep their spot. Stevenson was dropped a couple of weeks ago, but Trengove is still out and will be for a little bit more. So, yeah. Just depends on which cow is the most matured, but certainly it would be a big candidate to be traded out this week. Now, the last out to look at, Mark, is Dwyer, who I know you reckon he's going to get dropped soon, you think?
Well, I probably would have thought that last week, and he still held his spot and held it comfortably and wasn't the sub, so that was a good sign. But Collingwood do still have players coming back in. Fair chance Luke Ball gets a game this week. And that sort of thing will cost Dwyer the spot in the team at some stage. And yeah, I think that his job security at Collingwood was probably pretty low, given the fact that he really hasn't been able to have much influence on the games in the last couple of weeks. I think he's averaged 11 possessions over the last 2 weeks, has a break even of 60, and you'd think that he might actually struggle to get to that. So at 250,000, it's probably not a bad time to be ditching Dwyer. And that's what I'll be doing this week, I think, probably even if he is picked.
And I don't think he's not one of those players that you're going to hold through the buy period, because, like Mark said, his job security is low. So even though his price is low, you'd be looking to trade him out, even though you don't get the highest return for your value. Now, we're looking at the ins now. The person that heads that list is obviously Dale Thomas. He's at 428K, Mark, bottomed out after a stunning 150 performance, just racking up disposals off half back. Now, that was against the Saints. They have Fremantle, Geelong, Sydney coming up. So do you think people can afford to hold off a little bit? I know people are wary that it's just one big game. And he was, you know, allowed to go unchecked. 28 uncontested possessions, which was a career high.
Yeah, like I said with Heath Shaw, Daisy definitely benefited from the game style. And look, it was a new role. I think it was a couple of years ago, 2011, I think, where Collingwood were about to play the Saints, and Ross Lyon called Daisy the best player in the AFL and shut him down after that, and Daisy sort of struggled a little bit. But so it's unlikely that Ross will let him run free this weekend if he does try and play that free backline role. And the thing with Daisy is he's very much a team man, so he'll be willing to sacrifice himself for the team, and that could affect his scoring. I'm not expecting him to go big every week. I think that he can be a little bit inconsistent, but when he does go big, he goes really big. And I mean, we paid, what, 630 at the start of last year, and as a midfielder, and thought that he was going to go on an average 120 or so, and that definitely didn't pan out. He had a slow start to the year, got injured, and cost us a shitload of money. But at 430,000, even off an interrupted preseason, a break even of 48, we've got players like Buddy and Pritis, and we're going to have other things to focus on in the next couple of weeks. So I think that if you are going to jump on Daisy, it probably does have to be this week. One big game probably is enough for me, and I'm happy to hitch myself to the Daisy train and see where it takes me. I mean, it's not like he's likely to end up at less than 430,000 at any point. So he might not do so well, average 80, and you could trade him out.
I want more, a bit more commitment, Mark. What do you think you'll average?
I think he'll average over 100, and at 430, that's a fantastic result. And his upside is maybe a little bit higher than that, but there's probably a reasonable amount of variation in what his average could be. I mean, he averaged 96 last year, and he had a 23 game where he was subbed out, so which obviously brought his average below 100. So 109 a couple of years ago, if he got anywhere near that, then this would be a season-defining trade.
Yeah, and I think that's probably the precise reason that most people should be doing it. I think if you miss out on Daisy and he does absolutely go off and average like Mark's suggesting, that you're going to have to find a pretty big point of difference somewhere else to be able to bring those points and claw that back. You just can't find a player that's undervalued by this extent that is potentially a bona fide top six forward. So yeah, I agree with you there. Now, we're going to look at JPK, Mark, and I know you've been looking closely at him throughout the week because you've been comparing him with Joel Selwood. Now, how have you come up with that?
I have a little bit, mate, because I think that they're both good trade-in options, and Selwood is at about 600,000, Josh Kennedy's at 570. They can often both do quite well against good opposition because they benefit from the contested ball. My aim was always to bring in Josh Kennedy, and after the first two rounds, I think most people were like, damn, I wish I had this guy on my team, but then he's really gone quiet since then. A little bit concerned that there are a lot of the Sydney midfield depth is really, really deep this year, and there's a lot of people competing for points. But if they finish top four, I think Kennedy will still do quite well. He has the potential for the 150 plus games, and I think at 570, he's a really good option to look for. If I didn't have my eyes on Daisy, I'd probably be bringing Josh Kennedy in, and because I'll be getting Daisy, I'll sort of look again next week or the week after at Kennedy or Selwood, and because they're around 12 players, they are both quite enticing to me, and I'll definitely end up with one of them. I presume you'd take Selwood in that bet.
Yeah, I would. I think, you know, when you had McVeigh and O'Keefe, they're old warriors and, you know, they perform really well, but, you know, you don't expect them to take massive chunks of the pie every week. Jack obviously is continuing to grow, and I think the biggest one's just Hanbury. Hanbury's taking some big points away, and so it'd be good if he can keep that 115 average. And I think at the moment Sydney have, what, 5 110 plus averaging midfielders. Is that right, Mark?
I'm not sure, mate, but that would sound possible.
Yeah, so it'd be really interesting to see how that ends up because if the points remain shared like that, you don't see all too much upside in his price, and he's perhaps not as tempting as you would have assumed if I would have told you in round six you'd be able to get him off after these price drops. So go
I
ahead.
think the fact that he's going to stay on the park, he plays every game, is also a big factor that should probably come into consideration. What about Robbie Gray? Do we need to talk about him? I think he's 299,000.
Yeah, so I guess he'd be used as a stepladder, right, Mark? So you're hoping that he goes up in price, but he's not really a keeper.
One example might be, say you've got a Momfries and you've already made a bit of money out of him. You could go him down to Robbie Gray, pocket the 150,000, and then trade Gray out when Gray got to 450, and sort of almost use it as a premium mid-price price away of earning money rather than going all the way down to rookies.
So do you think that's a valid strategy if you can squeeze out 150 and you know the points that you get for having them over the rookie over the few rounds?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that's a valid strategy. And another option might be Windelik. I think that if you can, that gives you an extra 50,000. So it sort of works out to be 200,000, and then it becomes even more useful. And if you can get a player like a Gray or a Wunderlich that could average the same as the player that you've already got for $150,000, $200,000 cheaper, then I think that's definitely a way of getting a bit of extra value this year, because we do have the extra trades and we don't necessarily have great trade-in targets from the rookies that are going to be able to stay in our teams and score us points.
All right, now Steve Johnson, Mark, he's priced pretty similarly to Josh Kennedy now. So should we still be, considering Steve Johnson as, an extra must-have selection because he's actually listed in the forward line? Or at this point of the season, are we just assessing price and points? And SJ may not look quite as tempting because there's some bottomed-out ultra premiums in the midfield also available.
Yeah, well, you can sort of get Josh Kennedy for 30,000 more, but I guess you can get Stevie J as a forward, whereas you can't get Kennedy for that. I think that I'm always wary about a fully priced player that someone says is a must-have or close to fully priced, because there's just so much risk attached if it doesn't come up or if they get injured or rested, and you're putting a lot of eggs in that basket. I think Johnson's probably just cheap enough this week to make it a reasonable consideration. I think if it was 570, then that's just way too much. But look, his role looks fantastic. He said that he was going to play more midfield time this year, and he is. And Geelong have a great draw coming up, and he loves beating up on the weaker sides. So it's definitely quite possible that he could go on a huge run and be a season defining player. And so I can see why you think that he will do that. Good luck to you, mate.
When do you think the day will come, or do you think it'll come, that SJ will start taking the number one tag away from Selwood? Because that's
Yes, I
probably the
do.
main concern.
Yeah, absolutely, I do. The reason why it might not at the moment is because Selwood's actually been held a little bit by a tag in the last couple of weeks, or two of the last 3 weeks, which has meant that the coaches might still be putting a tag on Selwood because they know that, like, Stevie J can rip a game apart, but Selwood is just insane in his ability to win a game off his own boots. So I think that they'll definitely, and some teams have a second tagger. Like, I know Essendon do play the second tagger sometimes, Doggies do. So I think that he will definitely be getting more attention going forward.
One thing I can say is he's old and he gets sore. And with Geelong tracking the way we're tracking, I just wouldn't be surprised if Johnson also gets as rested throughout the year. So that has to be a consideration. I think his upside's probably, worth the rest. Geelong has a quite a conservative resting policy, but yeah, you probably should consider that as well. And I know that's why some people are considering maybe not splash that type of cash, because when you're looking at the 550 range, you're starting to compare with Josh Kennedy at 580, and then you're kind of nitpicking with the exact quality of the player that you're bringing in. So.
So, question of the week, Marcus, is Daisy or Stevie J?
I love Steve Johnson, Mark. I brought him in at the first opportunity I could, but
Remind me again of that.
I think Dale Thomas, we were going to pay, like, we paid an average of 109 for him. He's priced at 430, available in the forward line this year. I'm so excited. I want him to do well, and I want to get on the bandwagon. I hope he has a big one.
This is one of the things that sucks as a Supercoach fan, that I'll be watching Collingwood games and I will be cheering really hard for Daisy. As a Bombers fan, that is really such a very strange experience.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because I'm going for Pendles as well. It's crazy. It's a crazy messed up world. Now, let's have a quick look at some of the rookies this week, mate. We talked about Laird or and Doherty last week. Now, there was a bit of carnage after the show last week, and neither of those guys got selected. Laird had a corked thigh and didn't play on the weekend, and Doherty went back to the reserves and was best on ground against the Swans reserves team. So are they still realistic considerations this week?
Yeah, I certainly think so. I think probably Laird's the one to look at. So,
Because of the bye?
yeah, round 13, round 11 bye with Doherty makes him really tough to work around with, particularly in the back line. So I think that'll probably see him ruled out. I think he's also quite a sub risk. I would have thought that Vossi would like him, take to him a little bit more than he has, but he hasn't, and you don't expect that to happen overnight. So. Yeah, I think Laird, mature age as well, and
Yep.
he missed because of a corky. Is that right, Mark?
That's right. And that's a reasonable, realistic injury that you can get over in a short period of time. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him picked this week. Now, another round 11 bye player that people are looking at this week is Kane Mitchell, who got upgraded to the list, senior list at the end of last week. I think it was after we did the show. And because of his early stub games. He's still only 137,000, nice and cheap. Played his first full game on the weekend, and is he a realistic option?
He's got around 11 buys, so you're either going to trade him out just before then, so that's only four price movements, or you're going to trade him out after round 12 so that he plays another one, so that's five price movements. I'm not too much of a fan of him. I still think he's a bit of a sub risk, and it only takes one in the next five games to seriously stall his price again, and there's no margin for error now that we're entering peak upgrade season. And if you're going kamikaze upgrade style, you kind of need every rookie you got to turn into value and turn into points on board. So I'm not as big of a fan of the selection. I personally like Lonergan a little bit better, and even though he's only played the one game, I think I'd take him. That's just right. For his pedigree.
So Jesse Lonergan, a lot of talk about him preseason, injured his hand, came back through the reserves, played really good footy, came into the seniors. I think he scored 49 in his first hit out. He's a bit more of an expensive rookie, but he is around 13 buy, playing for the Suns. They've got Melbourne this week and Doggies the week after. Is he someone you could bring in this week?
Yeah, I certainly think so. And you're probably going to have to look at that more closely in terms of what you want to do next week, because really you want to be looking at bringing Lonergan in this week, I think, if you're going to be committed to, for example, upgrading to Pritis next week. So I think he's probably, I see him as a must-have rookie at this stage, just because he's going to actually play through the buys as a round 13 buy player. If he's a high-scoring rookie, he's going to count for a lot of points at a critical period of time.
Who's to say that he's not going to be subbed during the buys? We've got a lot of fun to come in about 5 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Now, let's look at some listener questions. Now, my mate Nathan has the first question. I'm sending a bit of a cheeky one, mate. Why is Marcus so much better than FB Donkey at Supercoach? Will Marcus's current ranking bring out the girly voice normally saved for his beloved cat?
Yeah, I think we already experienced that at the start of the show, so... Really happy, Mark. Things are going really well, and to be honest, I can thank one man for that, and that's Steve Johnson. In all five competitions, I brought him in round four, and that's pretty much why. I think my lowest ranked team is 136th, I think, in sports bets. So my teams are flying at the moment.
And I really thought you were just about to thank me then, mate.
Of course, I got to thank my wife, Mark. Thank you so much. Without you and without your support, I'd be nothing. Sometimes, dream hard times.
Get the girly voice off, mate. Pete asks, is it worth trading in round 11 buy premiums if they've fallen to bargain prices before their buy, even if it means wearing them being absent in round 11?
Yeah, certainly. I'm not sure how you feel about this, Mark, but it probably takes a bit of buy planning. You need to look forward and actually see whether you can accommodate a player with a round 11 buy.
I've already got a lot of round 11 buy players, so I'm looking to get them out of my team over the next few weeks rather than bring them in.
Mm. So for some people, I think it's more valid than others, and it just depends on your team makeup. I'll certainly be looking at, I think Birchall looks very tempting. He scored 59 after an 80, and he'll be primed for pickup before the buys, and you might only get one game out of him before the buys, but you know, if it's a bargain, take it. You're not going to pause your upgrading just because the buys are coming around. You just need to make sure that your upgrades fit around your buy planning and your buy structure so that it doesn't affect you negatively.
Now, I got a bit lucky on the weekend, mate, as I know you did. Probably affected the ranking as well with Dangerfield. Jason asks, why did Dangerfield have to punish me for trading him out last week?
I got to say, Mark, I'm not gonna let that one go to luck. I said last week you don't want to trade out Dangerfield because he's got a really high ceiling. And I said that if he scored 170, that it's going to hurt because, you know, you can sideswap him for a Pritis that's a lot cheaper later on. So, yeah, I think that's kind of what happened, especially if you held him a couple of rounds. I'm sorry. That's a bit mean to be saying, but I think we said last week to hold, so... Yeah, just
I've been wanting to trade him out since round one, and probably got a bit lucky on the weekend, mate.
Yeah, so you can thank me for that, Mark. There we go.
Yeah, I can thank the backline carnage for stopping me from being able to do it. I've been rage trading him out of my team every Monday morning. When is it time to jump off the cash cows? Do we need to keep the ones that aren't making enough cash for a permanent bench spot? That applies to me. Like, I've got Luke Brown at the moment, and he's not scoring very well, but he only sort of filled in for 35 points on the weekend, and his price is only at about 200,000, but he could hold that bench spot for a while. And like, he's the sort of player who's just signed a 2 or 3 year contract extension today. So he should be part of their team. And he's the sort of player that might actually hold a bench spot for quite a while for me, at least until sort of the round 11, 12 buy situation comes through, and maybe even beyond that.
I think he's a perfect example, Mark. You know, high job security but low scoring potential, and that's why he hasn't been traded out. So yeah, those are the ones to keep. But just, you know, you don't want to get. I think Dwyer's probably, you know, some people could say that's might not be enough money to trade him out. But if they have low job security as well, then definitely trade them out, even though they're not making the cash, because they'll really hurt you during the buy period when you're sort of relying on their scores, and then they show up with a donut. So
Sam asks, is it worth getting rid of Sam Jacobs? Maybe trade him out to Daisy via Cox in the forward line. We haven't been a wrap for Jacobs all season, and unlucky for the people that got him, I think, that he does seem to be carrying an injury.
Daisy seems a good option, and go for value rather than for points at this stage of the season, in my opinion, because there's some great steals on the horizon, and with 30 trades, you can afford to, you know, side swap, even if players like Daisy don't quite work out.
Got any tips for round 12 premiums that we should be looking at?
Oh, I'm struggling, Mark. Maybe I need some help from you.
I like a couple in the midfield, as I spoke about earlier, JPK and Selwood. The back line, I have no idea. Forward is not so bad because we've got Josh Kennedy and we've got the Geelong boys.
Nick Nat, but he'll come along round 12?
Well, yep, and depending on what price he gets to and how he looks, it was good to have him back on the weekend. And I know that the Eagles fans would definitely be saying that, but he is a highlight machine and he does make AFL more fun, so it was definitely good to have him back this week. And yeah, I guess it'd be interesting to jump on board him at some stage, but I'm definitely struggling with those, and your guess is as good as mine.
McAvoy, maybe he's available in the rocks.
We've only got 2 ruck spots, mate.
Tough, very tough.
Now, with the aggressive trading strategy which you're trying to put into practice this year, mate, how many trades should you have left leading into the buyers, just roughly?
It's looking like going into round 11, I'm planning to have 11.
Jesus.
Yeah, I'm planning to go down to 5 after the buys.
Going hard.
Yeah, 5 trades for 11 rounds, I think, so I'll keep my fingers crossed.
I'll have more than that, and I'll just smash in the run home.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Is Nick Riewoldt still Supercoach relevant? I read somewhere today that he was the third player in the last 10 years to average 10 marks, 3 goals and 18 possessions over the first 6 weeks. And one of the others was Carey. Like, it's insane the form that he's put on the park so far.
I feel kind of foolish, Mark, because I poo-poo him all the time and he's just egg all over my face. So, yeah, I don't know. Especially against Sydney and Collingwood too. Who would have called those big scores there for forward, really?
And also against Carlisle, like 3 weeks ago. Carlisle's been smashing everyone that he's played on. And Riewoldt, he only scored about 100, but he still played really well and scored decent against him. I hear that he's like, he can hardly train for a few days after the game. He's getting water in his knee, and yet he's still producing these sort of results. So just shows you how much of a champion he is, I guess. Now, he's probably a bit expensive, and I'm sure that you'd think he's going to break down at some point, but then it's Nick Riewoldt, and he is just proving what a champion he is. So I think he probably is still Supercoach relevant this year, and proving that that's the case, although the Saints do have a pretty tough draw coming up. Now, last question, mate, from Salacious K. Love that name. Too early to cull Yeager O'Meara. I think he still has more cash to make, or not.
Yeah, and I think, Mark, when you look at all the rookies that are popular and that are left, he actually looks like the one that most people are going to carry, I think, all the way till round 12 and hold him, and he's one of the rookies that you sideswap around the bye. I think that, you know, he's averaging 90s, he's scoring real well, he's not showing too many signs of fatigue, and just hope that he can keep it up. I think most people are going to need to hold one player like that throughout the buys, and he's around 13 buy player, and he's doing the best of the lot, and I think his break even still like -5 off 2 big games or something like that, so I like it.
Seems pretty simple, mate. Now, it's a big weekend for us, Marcus. I'll be there on Friday night, full house at Docklands.
My seat.
Taking the wife. I am taking your seat, taking the wife. I know you'll be interstate. Yeah. And it's going to be a massive game for Bombers versus Dons. And It's not the only massive game this weekend either.
Yeah, huge games. I mean, Fremantle Collingwood's on the same time as Hawthorn Sydney, so it's going to be a great weekend of footy.
How am I supposed to choose between those two games? Grand final rematch, I think. But then I've just brought in Daisy into my team, so I'm going to want to watch him play. Yeah, that will be definitely tough to pick. Hopefully we see you in the top 10, mate. You probably shouldn't start bragging until you make the top 10.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't. And, you know, things can turn in a week, so take my victories while I can. And I don't think I've actually been ever ranked this high, Mark. Hopefully I can keep it up. Hopefully the team can keep it up. Keep your fingers crossed for me, community. I need some good juju.
Well, given all the help that you're giving to the community, hopefully you get a bit of karma out of that. And, yeah, we'll all be riding you home, mate. Go Bombers.
Go Cats. 7-0. You can do it. Jump up, make it crazy. Jump up, make it crazy. Jump up, make it crazy.